Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. Career Planning. Listen to a young woman talk about what helped her most in the process of deciding on her profession. While listening, tick the correct answer, A, B, C, or D. There is only one correct answer. You now have time to read the assignment.
For me, it has sometimes been difficult to think about what I want to do in the future and to find a sort of focus. At university, something that really inspired me was a talk about languages and somebody who said, you don't have to leave university and go and get a job for the rest that you will have for the rest of your life. Rather, it's about exploring different things and taking the opportunities that come to you. So I usually describe myself as a yes person and really take the opportunities that come and try out different things. For me right now, it's teaching and also doing some translation, sometimes some singing. I did some singing in a recording studio last week, and it's just all these different things which then open new doors to other opportunities.
Now listen to the recording again.
For me, it has sometimes been difficult to think about what I want to do in the future and to find a sort of focus. At university, something that really inspired me was a talk about languages and somebody who said, you don't have to leave university and go and get a job for the rest that you will have for the rest of your life. Rather, it's about exploring different things and taking the opportunities that come to you. So I usually describe myself as a yes person and really take the opportunities that come and try out different things. For me right now, it's teaching and also doing some translation, sometimes some singing. I did some singing in a recording studio last week, and it's just all these different things which then open new doors to other opportunities.
Task 2. Food. Listen to six people talk about food. While listening, match the statements A to G with the speakers 1 to 6. There is one more statement than you need. You now have time to read the assignment. Speaker 1.
I do believe that it should be a common aim amongst everybody to try and have a healthier lifestyle, but I am aware that this isn't always easy. Due to working parents who work long hours in the day, it can be difficult to make a meal, making sure it has all the right vitamins in.
Speaker 2.
A lot of people complain about the fact that our food is contaminated with pesticides or antibiotics, but sometimes it is difficult to get quality food in some regions because not all fruit and vegetables are always in season, And because of different events like droughts or natural disasters, it can be difficult to get fruit and vegetables sometimes.
Speaker 3.
Young people tend to think that fast food is fun to eat, and it's obviously cheap for them and easy to get, but they don't think about, for example, where the food is coming from and how processed and bad it is for you. A lot of people argue that you can go to fast food restaurants now and get healthier options like salads and yogurt parfaits, but I think the issue with that is that even foods like salads are often very processed with chemicals.
Speaker 4.
When I was younger, we used to go to farms and the teachers would show us exactly how it was made. We also always try to buy fair trade products in my house. My mother says she buys them because she doesn't like the exploitation of poor farmers in countries where food is difficult to grow. It's more expensive, but in my opinion, it's worth the price because I feel a bit less guilty about the food I do use.
Speaker 5.
Some people think that it's irresponsible not to be a vegetarian, but I'm not sure I agree. I think we have a responsibility to our bodies. However, I think there are some things we can do to behave more responsibility when we buy meat and eggs. For example, lots of animals are raised on battery farms, which have terrible conditions, and the animals often lead very unfortunate lives. Therefore, if we buy free-range products, I think there's nothing wrong with eating meat every once in a while.
Speaker 6.
So I learned to respect food and meal times for my parents when I was young. We always had to ask, for example, if we wanted to leave the table. And if we didn't eat all of our main course, we couldn't have any dessert. And I think that still is something I take with me today. For example, if the phone goes on a meeting, I don't answer it. I think it's very important to stay seated during the meal and don't throw anything away. Finish your portions. So I think it's something the parents definitely can teach their children.
Now listen to the recording again. Speaker 1.
I do believe that it should be a common aim amongst everybody to try and have a healthier lifestyle, but I am aware that this isn't always easy. Due to working parents who work long hours in the day, it can be difficult to make a meal, making sure it has all the right vitamins in.
Speaker 2.
A lot of people complain about the fact that our food is contaminated with pesticides or antibiotics, but sometimes it is difficult to get quality food in some regions because not all fruit and vegetables are always in season, and because of different events like droughts or natural disasters, it can be difficult to get fruit and vegetables sometimes.
Speaker 3.
Young people tend to think that fast food is fun to eat, and it's obviously cheap for them and easy to get, but they don't think about, for example, where the food is coming from and how processed and bad it is for you. A lot of people argue that you can go to fast food restaurants now and get healthier options like salads and yogurt parfaits, but I think the issue with that is that even foods like salads are often very processed with chemicals.
Speaker 4.
When I was younger, we used to go to farms and the teachers would show us exactly how it was made. We also always try to buy fair trade products in my house. My mother says she buys them because she doesn't like the exploitation of poor farmers in countries where food is difficult to grow. It's more expensive, but in my opinion, it's worth the price because I feel a bit less guilty about the food I do use.
Speaker 5.
Some people think that it's irresponsible not to be a vegetarian, but I'm not sure I agree. I think we have a responsibility to our bodies. However, I think there are some things we can do to behave more responsibly when we buy meat and eggs. For example, lots of animals are raised on battery farms, which have terrible conditions, and the animals often lead very unfortunate lives. Therefore, if we buy free-range products, I think there's nothing wrong with eating meat every once in a while.
Speaker 6.
So I learnt to respect food and meal times for my parents when I was young. We always had to ask, for example, if we wanted to leave the table. And if we didn't eat all of our main course, we couldn't have any dessert. And I think that still is something I take with me today. For example, if the phone goes on a meeting, I don't answer it. I think it's very important to stay seated during the meal and don't throw anything away. Finish your portions. So I think it's something that parents definitely can teach their children.
Task 3. London Schools. Listen to an interview with a head teacher of a London school. While listening, tick the correct answer A, B, C or D. There is only one correct answer. You now have time to read the assignment.
I've got about 90 places at the moment. My school has expanded twice since 1999. We moved from one form entry to two, which was 60 places, and we're currently moving to three forms of entry. So we have 90 places to offer, and we have about 200 applicants each year.
So inevitably, you're going to have a lot of disappointed parents.
Yes. And that's the same across London. In my authority, which is the London Borough of Harrow, every school has been asked to expand.
So talk about that expansion then. You already mentioned you went from, I think, was it 60 to 90. Is it an option for you to expand further?
No, we're now moving to 90 places. We're on quite a constrained site. And it would be impossible to expand further.
So, I mean, someone who represents head teachers and someone who's a head teacher yourself, you must worry about what happens to the children who don't get into your school.
Well, my local authority is maintaining that every child will get a place in a school, and that's really important. So we're doing everything we can to make that happen.
But the principle, fundamentally the principle that seems to emerge from the figures that have been released now, is that there are simply not enough places where people want the places. Because often you get the situation, as you say, where people will get offered a school, but possibly not the one that's nearest them or the one they want.
That will happen. And it is very difficult for local authorities now to coordinate admissions because of the range of different schools that there are. So they don't have control and therefore can't coordinate whether schools do expand or not.
And I know a lot of head teachers, like as you have done, have expanded as much as they can. That presumably has an impact, whether it's to do with the logistics of the school or the space available.
Yes. My school has expanded, so we were 250 pupils. We're now moving to 660. Well, we've still only got one school hall. We've no dining area. We've no kitchen. So there's lots of things we have to think about. It can happen, and that's my job, to make sure that it does happen without compromising the high-class education that we provide for our pupils.
Now listen to the recording again.
I've got about 90 places at the moment. My school has expanded twice since 1999. We moved from one form entry to two, which was 60 places, and we're currently moving to three forms of entry. So we have 90 places to offer, and we have about 200 applicants each year.
So inevitably, you're going to have a lot of disappointed parents.
Yes. And that's the same across London. In my authority, which is the London Borough of Harrow, every school has been asked to expand.
So talk about that expansion then. You already mentioned you went from, I think, was it 60 to 90. Is it an option for you to expand further?
No, we're now moving to 90 places. We're on quite a constrained site. And it would be impossible to expand further.
So, I mean, someone who represents head teachers and someone who's a head teacher yourself, you must worry about what happens to the children who don't get into your school.
Well, my local authority is maintaining that every child will get a place in a school, and that's really important. So we're doing everything we can to make that happen.
But the principle, fundamentally the principle that seems to emerge from the figures that have been released now, is that there are simply not enough places where people want the places. Because often you get the situation, as you say, where people will get offered a school, but possibly not the one that's nearest them or the one they want.
That will happen. And it is very difficult for local authorities now to coordinate admissions because of the range of different schools that there are. So they don't have control and therefore can't coordinate whether schools do expand or not.
And I know a lot of head teachers, like as you have done, have expanded as much as they can. That presumably has an impact, whether it's to do with the logistics of the school or the space available.
Yes. My school has expanded, so we were 250 pupils. We're now moving to 660. Well, we've still only got one school hall. We've no dining area. We've no kitchen. So there's lots of things we have to think about. It can happen, and that's my job, to make sure that it does happen without compromising the high-class education that we provide for our pupils.
Task 4. The Buckingham Palace Tour. Listen to the journalist Nuala McGovern interview Jemima Relly and Andrew Muller about a virtual reality tour through Buckingham Palace. While listening, fill in the missing information. You do not need to write complete sentences. You now have time to read the assignment.
Now, we are going to bring you on a virtual reality tour that has been happening and getting underway in London. Let's take a little listen.
Hello, you're at Buckingham Palace, which is the official residence of Her Majesty the Queen, and you're going to come with me for a tour. So please, come on in. You're now standing inside the grand entrance of Buckingham Palace.
So that brings us inside Buckingham Palace. I did take a little look at this before we actually came on air. Quite beautiful. Brings us up the staircases, brings us into rooms that I definitely didn't see before. But there is an app that was launched this week with Google to take visitors inside the Queen's London residence from the comfort of their home, or in the case of children, their schools. Jemima Relly is with me, joins me from the Royal Collection Trust and responsible for opening the palace to the public. It's often only usually open in the summer, so now we have the winter to look at it too. Tell us a little bit more about this idea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we open the palace to the public every year, and over 500,000 people do visit in person. But of course, not everyone can get to London, so we were extremely excited when Google came to us and approached us and said that they developed this technology to allow people to visit the palace virtually. And I've worked in technology for several years in the cultural heritage field, and they showed me it, and basically I was blown away. It's thoroughly immersive. You put this headset on and you're shown this 360-degree film of the palace, and it's the closest thing to being there without actually visiting in person.
You know, what surprised me about the headset when I looked at the photographs of some of the school children that were holding it, it's basically made out of cardboard, but you're getting a virtual reality experience. Explain it for us.
That's exactly right. So it's a cheap piece of cardboard. You can buy the kit for about £10. And you put it on your £400 or whatever smartphone, and it creates a VR, a virtual reality headset. And if you view it, the 360-degree film through that virtual reality headset, every time you move your head, the room moves with you. And it's hilarious if you watch people using it, because if you're standing up, they actually start walking. That's how real the experience is.
I mean, some might lament the fact that kids, if they do this, they mightn't be bothered going to the palace in real life.
I would if I thought that was a concern, but it isn't, I don't think. I mean, if you see a picture of a beach, you still want to go to the beach. I believe that people who use this VR experience, if they're able to visit the palace, will be motivated even more to visit the palace. But it's also, of course, an opportunity for people worldwide, school children worldwide, teachers worldwide, families worldwide, to visit the palace. And the interest in the palace is evidenced in the numbers of people who have already watched the film. I mean, it's gone viral.
It's very nice to have you in our offices, but I have a feeling that it probably doesn't compare with going to Buckingham Palace every day.
I am very, very lucky to work there. I mean, it's a beautiful surrounding. And I thank my lucky stars daily.
Well, with us is Vicky Price and Andrew Muller. Are you interested in taking a VR, as it's called, virtual reality tour of the palace?
I'm interested in the idea. I almost somewhat bleakly wonder if things like this might actually be a more effective way for people now to see places, because if they're immersed in the VR experience of Buckingham Palace, they are actually experiencing at least Buckingham Palace rather than doing what people now appear to do when they go to tourist attractions, which is mostly take pictures of themselves standing in front of it. Whereas this way they might actually... I'm old enough to remember when people used to go places to actually see things rather than take pictures of themselves standing in front of the thing that you would once have gone to see.
Now listen to the recording again.
Now, we are going to bring you on a virtual reality tour that has been happening and getting underway in London. Let's take a little listen.
Hello, you're at Buckingham Palace, which is the official residence of Her Majesty the Queen, and you're going to come with me for a tour. So please, come on in. You're now standing inside the grand entrance of Buckingham Palace.
So that brings us inside Buckingham Palace. I did take a little look at this before we actually came on air. Quite beautiful. Brings us up the staircases, brings us into rooms that I definitely didn't see before. But there is an app that was launched this week with Google to take visitors inside the Queen's London residence from the comfort of their home, or in the case of children, their schools. Jemima Relly is with me, joins me from the Royal Collection Trust and responsible for opening the palace to the public. It's often only usually open in the summer, so now we have the winter to look at it too. Tell us a little bit more about this idea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we open the palace to the public every year, and over 500,000 people do visit in person. But of course, not everyone can get to London, so we were extremely excited when Google came to us and approached us and said that they developed this technology to allow people to visit the palace virtually. And I've worked in technology for several years in the cultural heritage field, and they showed me it, and basically I was blown away. It's thoroughly immersive. You put this headset on and you're shown this 360-degree film of the palace, and it's the closest thing to being there without actually visiting in person.
You know, what surprised me about the headset when I looked at the photographs of some of the school children that were holding it, it's basically made out of cardboard, but you're getting a virtual reality experience. Explain it for us.
That's exactly right. So it's a cheap piece of cardboard. You can buy the kit for about £10. And you put it on your £400 or whatever smartphone, and it creates a VR, a virtual reality headset. And if you view it, the 360-degree film through that virtual reality headset, every time you move your head, the room moves with you. And it's hilarious if you watch people using it, because if you're standing up, they actually start walking. That's how real the experience is.
I mean, some might lament the fact that kids, if they do this, they mightn't be bothered going to the palace in real life.
I would if I thought that was a concern, but it isn't, I don't think. I mean, if you see a picture of a beach, you still want to go to the beach. I believe that people who use this VR experience, if they're able to visit the palace, will be motivated even more to visit the palace. But it's also, of course, an opportunity for people worldwide, school children worldwide, teachers worldwide, families worldwide, to visit the palace. And the interest in the palace is evidenced in the numbers of people who have already watched the film. I mean, it's gone viral.
It's very nice to have you in our offices, but I have a feeling that it probably doesn't compare with going to Buckingham Palace every day.
I am very, very lucky to work there. I mean, it's a beautiful surrounding. And I thank my lucky stars daily.
Well, with us is Vicky Price and Andrew Muller. Are you interested in taking a VR, as it's called, virtual reality tour of the palace?
I'm interested in the idea. I almost somewhat bleakly wonder if things like this might actually be a more effective way for people now to see places, because if they're immersed in the VR experience of Buckingham Palace, they are actually experiencing at least Buckingham Palace, rather than doing what people now appear to do when they go to tourist attractions, which is mostly take pictures of themselves standing in front of it. Whereas this way, they might actually... I'm old enough to remember when people used to go places to actually see things rather than take pictures of themselves standing in front of the thing that you would once have gone to see.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.